Okay, hello, and welcome to this latest episode of Innovations in Education, the podcast that delves into the ever-evolving world of education technology and its impact on today's schools. I'm your host, Kevin Hogan, and today I'm excited to introduce Kai Carew. He's the Senior Director of Product Content for Mind Research Institute, and who has been on the forefront of EdTech and game-based learning. Kai leads a team of learning and game designers, artists, and mathematicians developing the next generation of the STMass interactive programs. He's been designing neuroscience-driven EdTech solutions for over a decade. Prior to joining Mind, he founded Beyond Math, an education company focused on teaching math in unique and non-traditional ways. Kai has spoken at South by Southwest EDU and written articles published in the Huffington Post. He has a bachelor's in engineering at the University of California, Berkeley. In this episode, we discuss the evolving nature of educational games and their potential to enhance learning. Kai shares his unique perspective on how game-based learning can be integrated into the curriculum and the importance of addressing skepticism surrounding screen time in the classroom. He also explores the distinctive nature of math and the opportunities for making the subject more engaging through game-based learning. Have a listen. Kai, thanks so much for joining me today. I really appreciate your time.
Pleasure to be here.
Now, we were talking at the end of ISTE. I mean, it's actually a little bit here in the distance. Did not have the opportunity to meet with you folks there at the show, but appreciate you taking the time to kind of do a follow-up. I'm finding some of my conversations, it's a little bit better to do it in hindsight, as opposed to being in the thick of the show. But let me ask you to start off, how was the show for you?
Yeah, ISTE is fantastic. I mean, it's an opportunity to see all the latest ed tech elements that are out on the market and just really interesting to see a lot of the buzz. I mean, particularly around AI is very high at ISTE. And, you know, in particular, we're focused on, you know, the educational space and in particular, how do you leverage tech in order to really enhance the learning experience? And so those are all things that I'm really looking out for and steeped in and had some great conversations about.
Yeah, well, then you mentioned AI. That was certainly the 800-pound gorilla. You couldn't get away from it in any sort of conversation. But other, you know, there's still some other emerging technologies that we're going through, one of which, certainly the gamification, which has been around for a while, but I think during the past couple years, with the pandemic, as with anything else involving remote learning, that it was amplified and accelerated during that time, yeah. Along with another topic, which while in the same sphere, but might be a little different. And I wanted to ask you, because of your background, to talk a little bit about gamification as it comes to curriculum in school. And the other topic is of esports. I think both of those phrases get tossed around sometimes interchangeably, but as I understand it, there are a lot of distinctions. Maybe you can kind of help our readers make those distinctions.
Sure. Yeah. So I'll start on the esports side. I mean, that's, gosh, blown up over the last 5 years. Actually, a lot of it has come out of the work done at UCI that they actually have a whole esports area of research there. And we actually partner with UCI. So I connect with Kurt, who's in charge of a lot of the esports work there and was at a conference. And yeah, I mean, tons of work that's been blowing up. Esports in general, I mean, really is the propagation of people that are really into video games and wanting that to be treated seriously as a sport, right? So it's an opportunity to take what's done typically in competitive, more physical sports and then translate that into the video game environment, right? So it's an opportunity to get to compete at a really high level, which is fantastic and reaches a much broader set of users in that way. Obviously, that's not looking at games for educational purposes, right? That's looking at games as a extracurricular, as an opportunity for additional competition. Whereas game-based learning is also another theme that's been in education for years. And that's specifically, how do you take the secret ingredients that makes games such an engaging vehicle and then really bring those elements into the educational environment in order to create an enhanced and more engaging educational experience?
But I think sometimes they both kind of get lumped in together with a bit of skepticism when it comes to, from parents, maybe certain school boards, you know, especially when you look at public schools and, you know, it's the public, right? And there's a sentiment, I think, especially during the pandemic, when you talk about screen times and the effectiveness or the not effectiveness of, in terms of learning using a screen. Talk a little bit about that, especially from the gamification side of where you see, where you can kind of address some of those skepticisms.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, the truth is kids are on screens a lot these days, right? And if you are going to utilize screen time in the classroom, the thing that you need to make sure that you're not doing is having them do the same types of activities that they're already spending hours and hours out at home, right? If we are going to be leveraging screens in the classroom, which there's amazing elements you can do with technology for learning, it really has to be focused on a learning enhancement. So an element that can't be achieved in a non-digital form. And in that way, what you're doing is you're enhancing and deepening the learning as opposed to just using it as a vehicle to do more practice, adding entertainment aspects and, you know, that are actually just much more similar to what kids are doing at home already.
Yeah. Well, as someone who pretty much was just aged out before Oregon Trail, so we're talking, I don't know, was that 89, 90, last century, easy last century. Talk about the evolution. I mean, one of the things was that education, gaming was just not fun enough for kids to become addicted to it almost, right? Versus the other way around. Where are we in those stages? Because the stuff that you're doing and the stuff I saw on the show before, I mean, there's extraordinary work being done.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, educational games used in schools really came out in the 80s, right? And into the 90s. I mean, this is when computers started making their way into the classrooms. Oregon Trail, like you mentioned, one of the first ones, Math Blaster also, that was a game from the 80s.
Yeah.
And what we ended up seeing is, you know, there'd be a few computers in the classroom and some kids would go and play on that as part of their supplemental time. And then what's blossomed, and I mean, this has been over the last 30 years now, right, is the increasing amount of games that can be used in the classroom. And specifically, and this is where we insert, is that a lot of games were initially done as a supplement. And so one of the challenges of actually getting games and digital games into the classroom is that you have to find a fit into the curriculum where it actually integrates into the curriculum in a meaningful way, right? A lot of games, I mean, Oregon Trail is great, but it ends up being this extra supplemental experience that you're having, and then you've got your full curriculum that you're doing, whether it's math or science or whatever it is. And what's emerged over the years is starting to build games in a way that actually can become an entire curriculum's worth of content. And we talk about some of the game-based learning elements that we build, and I actually don't call what we do games, I call them puzzles. Because puzzles, essentially, for teaching mathematics, the best way for kids to learn math is by solving puzzles. So that's what we build. We build puzzles for kids to learn. And what we've been able to do is actually create an entire curriculum's worth. And so what that does is, rather than just finding different inserts for how do you integrate the game, students can actually use these types of learning platforms as an entire supplement experience that parallels.